What's popping, everybody? It's part one of our first podcast of the week. Hope you enjoyed the special edition. Lou Pearlman Death interview with Chris Kirkpatrick.
A cool guy.
Yeah, he's
pretty cool.
Thought he gave us the goods,
no doubt.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to be a love fest by any means.
No. But I can understand why you would have mixed emotions.
I tell you, there's so much about Lou Pearlman. I could talk. We could do a whole other podcast on Lou Pearlman. His scams were just such bullshit.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I think holding the plane is the best part.
Holding the plane?
Yeah. For those that didn't hear it, Lou Pearlman created a fake company.
Oh.
And in the brochure, he had pictures of the interior of this plane, which was not the plane. And then he had the exterior of the plane, which was just a model plane that he had,
right,
and held it up with a backdrop of a real airport. So in the full picture, you can actually see the hand holding the plane, which they cropped out for the brochure.
Yeah, he had some. He did that with his blimps too, I think. Didn't he put a fake blimp in a background?
Probably. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, he was something else. There's so much. I mean, there's just like. It's funny how days come along like this, where there's like 19 things that you could really spend some good time on. I want to, right out of the gate, I want to mention, I thought this was a great story. Today, in East Point, a 91-year-old man with a concealed weapons permit was being robbed in the parking lot of a Rite Aid,
uh-huh,
and shot the guy, who then ran away, and eventually was collared. Cops got him. I guess he's not going to die. He was shot in the neck. But anyway... A tip of the cap to that helpless 91-year-old, as that perp was so sure what an easy target that old man was. But no, the guy had a concealed weapons permit and took care of business. And that's, you know, we always like to think that that's going to happen a lot. And it doesn't happen very often, unfortunately, that the concealed weapons people are able to stop crimes. But, you know, you got to celebrate it when it does happen. Especially an old guy, as vulnerable as he is, you know, to... And if I hear one word about, well, he didn't have to shoot him, I don't think we're going to hear that. I hope not. It's going to piss me off. I almost don't care what the circumstances are. When you attack a 91-year-old, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck what happens to you. You're a piece of shit. And I'm sure this guy's a piece of shit. And he's a living piece of shit, so God knows what he's got coming, what's ahead in his road.
Are there quotes from him? Why don't we call him?
Yeah, you want to see what is
I bet you he has one regret.
What, they didn't kill
they
the guy?
They didn't kill him.
I don't know. I think I pretty well covered it. But if you can find his name, maybe we can look him up. And then, there's another crime story I wanted to mention. I know you got more on the face eater down in Florida.
I know. Wow.
Now, that guy woke up from his buzz, and God, I must have smoked too much Flacco last night or something. I don't feel too good. Oh, well, you killed two people, and you ate a guy's face off.
Oh,
you also stabbed a guy trying to help him about four or five times in the back.
Was he like, no, that part I remember. That part was great.
Yeah, so you will never see the light of day again.
Wonder what his shit was like the next morning after eating a face.
Oh, my God.
Were there pieces of face in his feces?
Funny, I did not think about that.
Was it to cause diarrhea? I mean, what does the face do to your system?
What does the body digest?
I guess it's probably just, what, a little bit of muscle. So it's probably pretty normal.
That guy is just so fucked.
Good.
You know,
you mean fucked mentally?
He's fucked. He's in prison for life. He killed two people.
I don't want him out.
I don't either.
He's going to go eat more face.
Well,
you can't go around having people eating faces off. Taking Flocka, and then he also bit the guy in the tummy.
What is up with this drug, by the way? I mean, there are some really crazy stories.
Yeah.
Many, many crazy stories about people on Flocka, man. They just are...
It's funny because the authorities came back and said, well, he's tested negative for common street drugs like cocaine and meth and heroin. It's like...
It wasn't on that, you
ate
idiot.
A face. We said before, anytime somebody eats a face, he's taking bath salts. I could be a lab worker down there and just tell you. I would file my report early, not even test the blood. Just go, yep, oh, he ate a face. Oh, bath salts. Next.
Serious issue, shallow thought.
Yeah.
I couldn't help wondering, because I was reading about what incredible, you know, extra strength this guy had from smoking flaca.
Yeah.
I couldn't help thinking, I wonder how strong I'd be if I smoked flaca, if we could have somebody around to make sure I didn't kill anybody.
Or eat just, a face.
Like, find out how much I could bench. Just force me to get on a bench and bench press and see how much.
I said the other day, just make sure you're full before you take the bath salts so you don't have the urge to eat someone's face off.
But, I mean, multiple reports of, like, extra human strength, and, mm-hmm. and not just this guy, but multiple cases in the past where they said, you know, the strength these people suddenly exhibit is just being, it's like there's some adrenaline rush you get apparently from this drug.
Remember in the 911 call, the mom said that he says he's feeling immortal, like a superhero. That's what she told the cop. So can you imagine?
Who said that?
Mommy. Mommy called 911 when he stormed out of the restaurant because the food was taking too long. He's like, if I don't get some food, I'm going to eat a face. And took off and went and ate a face, which is honestly, that's why he left.
Did she say something about him? Did she seriously say something?
She called 911 and said that her kid took off. He's a little delusional. And I think she said that he feels that he's immortal, like he's a superhero.
She said that on the 911 call?
Uh-huh. According to the report I read,
Jesus, how bizarre. Yeah.
And then he's been acting.
God, I'm feeling like a superhero or something, Mom. It's really weird.
He's been claiming he has superpowers all week, which.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was taking from, I mean, from reading about it. It's what it sounds like. That's why I kind of wanted to take some bath salts and see how strong I am.
You would try to fly. Your neighbors.
So I said I want some people around to make sure I don't do anything crazy, unless I'm too strong and I can overpower all of them.
Well, we might let you.
That's the only danger.
We might let you go a little further. You should have done it when the Batmobile was here.
Oh, just throw Mel out of the way and drive off in the Batmobile.
Yeah, take some bath salts because then you have the car.
Yeah, I can solve crimes.
Although Bruce Wayne didn't have any superpowers, he just had a bunch of fancy toys.
Did you see the girl Kelly, by the way, that got a Corvette stolen from the Dream Cruise?
This is Kennedy. No, why? They found it, by the way.
Yeah, they did. That's what I was going to say. She parked it at Rosie O'Grady's.
And they got stolen from there.
It got stolen from there, yeah. And so they found it somewhere. I think in Detroit it was parked weirdly.
Was it stripped?
No, it wasn't. No. I don't think it was. I think it was fine. Should we
listen? How was the Dream Cruise? Did you go?
Not really. I did drive within it, sort of on the bottom
why?
End of it. Just through Ferndale, which is nothing.
Why? Because you had to?
Yes.
What do you mean it's nothing? It wasn't bad?
Well, it was later, and that end of the cruise down here is not that bad. It's not like back bumper-to-bumper traffic like it is up
like
there.
Like my neighborhood?
Yeah, like your neighborhood.
Honestly, I went out of town because I refused to stay in town during the Dream Cruise. I hate it that much.
You know, Tess was saying the same thing, that we have to plan to leave the area next time.
Well,
she's going nuts.
I feel like I have to always say this. I don't mind. I get Saturday. If it was a one-day event, that's fine. Whatever. I can live with that.
Well, yeah, I could take the month off. I could leave for the month, actually.
It's that bad. It's really that annoying. Bad to go anywhere, do any kind of commerce along Woodward, or even take Woodward. Honestly, pretty much the whole, like you said, the whole month leading up to it. On Thursday, we were driving back from Clarkston, and that's the usual route. And we got in a little argument about, do we take I-75? Because, you know, that construction.
Absolutely.
That construction had started, though, where one lane is closed.
Oh, Christ.
And it was about 7, 8 o'clock.
I'd take my chances on I-75, honestly. On Thursday night before the cruise, I would do I-75.
That would have been the right thing to do. I said, well, let's just take Woodward. I thought it would be really heavy traffic, but I thought it would still flow. I had to turn off into Birmingham before Maple, so before 15 Mile. And it took us an extra half hour to get home from there.
What a drag.
An extra half hour, so about 40 minutes from there.
Yeah.
But whatever. Everyone had a great time, except for that lady.
She got her car back, though, so everybody's happy. And Mel's happy, too, because Mel was on Channel 7 twice.
He was.
Yeah, he was live in traffic. The Channel 7 car was right in front of the Batmobile. Here.
And who was riding with Mel?
I don't know who was riding, but he was Rock. That's all I know.
Oh, that's a problem, because last year I took my grandkids. Remember last year when they showed him he had his grandkids in the car with
him? Oh, he did? In the Batmobile?
I don't know if it was the Batmobile last year.
You know, Mark,
I think it was the Monkeymobile last year.
I put hashtag Rock when I mentioned that he was on the Channel 7 thing. Because he was so Rock. He gets so much more Rock for TV than he does for us.
I know.
He didn't even tell us.
I think we bother him.
Yeah, we're like annoying him. Well, his friends, I mean, he sounds like he's 13. His friends are bugging him. Let's go cruising, Mel. Come on.
After all.
Do you have the phone with that stupid podcast? Actually, I don't think there was as much ragging when we were on a radio station.
No.
We're on a podcast now. That,
well, after all, I've been on television
many times.
Many times with my ears. I love Mel. I'm bummed I didn't get to see him on Friday.
That picture. Did you see the Batmobile picture?
I did see the picture. Yeah, you
fucking
and Charlie.
Fucking Batmobile in front of my house.
Now, the only thing I can think of was, do the neighbors come out and
peek
and gawk?
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, what's the Batmobile doing at my neighbor's house?
There was more pedestrian activity in this little area than
I've ever should be.
Yeah, it was pretty
cool. You meet your neighbors?
No, I didn't.
Make any new friends with the Batmobile?
Yeah, the Batmobile did not bring us any closer together
than
I'm aware of. But it was.
You were like, this is my friend Mel. He owns the Batmobile.
You know, that car is so cool, and I even thought the picture was cool. It's like, I haven't been in a picture where I went, oh, I love that picture. What, because I'm in it?
Yeah.
But I just, the picture, just seeing that car, was like, oh my God, that fucking car is so cool.
Did you get to drive it?
Of course not.
Mel!
Charlie asked.
Did Charlie get to drive it?
No.
Wait.
Charlie asked if they could just drive it over to his house so his daughter could see it. He lives like five blocks away.
Yeah.
No.
Really? Even if I was in the passenger seat?
Mark, they act so put out to be driving that car around. I don't know what is so hard about driving the Batmobile other than the people looking at you.
But that's the point of the cruise is to drive it.
I kind of thought it was too.
So why can't I drive it?
Oh, and the flamethrower didn't work. In back.
Oh, really? Yeah, What's the point?
I asked because I wanted to see the flames coming out.
No, I
back.
Know. It's dumb. What's the point of driving it if the flamethrower doesn't work? The turbo doesn't work.
I don't think they use it much, though, because, I mean, it took like 2 minutes to figure out how it works, and then it didn't work. It is cool, the sound the trunk makes when it goes up. And then they turned on the... What did they light that with? What was in the trunk that they light it with? I just can't think of the substance that
turbo nitrous
propane. Oh. Yeah, propane. They had propane in the trunk to fire it, and for some reason it wasn't firing.
Oh, that tank's empty.
I don't think it was empty.
Oh, really?
I think there was a malfunction.
Did you ask him to go burn some rubber on the dirt road?
Allegedly, I know that would have been nice. Allegedly, Mel's never burned rubber. I said
no
so.
Way.
So will this thing lay rubber? And never tried. I don't want to hurt the care.
What, Mel?
Can you play the 911 call of the mother of the face eater?
Oh, you have it?
Yeah, he found it.
Watching TV in their garage.
I don't know how to do this. My son, he's taken off. It seems like he's a little delusional.
This is the 911 call from the worried mother of 19-year-old college frat boy Austin Haroof. She made the call after
college
her son
frat
stormed
boy.
Out of a restaurant in upscale Jupiter, Florida.
He says, you know, he feels immortal and like a superhero. So I don't know what's going on with him. And he was out to dinner with his dad today and he took off.
He left on foot?
Yes. He had no ID on him, no phone. We'll say, I think the only thing he has on him is a pocket knife switchblade.
Oh, great.
The mom's worst fears were realized when he walked 4 miles before randomly encountering John and Michelle Stevens in their garage and allegedly beat and stabbed them to death. Police speculate that Haroof was under the influence of a drug called Flocka, sometimes known as bath salts. HLN's Dr. Drew Pinsky says taking the drug is playing Russian roulette with your life.
What they have the potential to do is cause something called an excitatory delirium. Delirium means
that's what makes you bench so much.
I don't know if I'd call that playing Russian roulette with your life.
Where they can become superhuman and violent.
Cool.
This is what a bad reaction to Flocka can look like. YouTube is loaded with videos of young people freaking out on Flocka.
Oh, now I know what I'm doing tonight.
Me too.
I
think we should do for the podcast.
It'll be its own TV show.
I can't wait that long.
We recovered a switchblade. And we recovered several blunt objects because...
Serious issue, more shallow thoughts.
Yes.
Did you know what the victims called their garage?
It was the lounge or something.
The garage-a-la, like Shangri-La.
Yeah, I saw that. They actually were... What really sucked about that story was the couple that was killed. It sounded like they were the
good
happiest
people, yeah.
People having the most fun life. I mean, it just sounded like really positive, just really enjoying the shit out of life. It's just really sad.
Life's rough, man.
When you run into that fucker.
Yep.
Hey, Jay, can you see about videos of people on Flocka? I want to see how this extra human strength. I want to try this stuff and see how strong I am.
Next thing you know, there's going to be a baseball player that's on Flocka. That's going to be the new performance-enhancing medicine, Flocka.
Well, I'd love to take BP on Flocka.
Oh, my God. Why? So you need the pitcher's face?
No, so I can hit the ball, like, out of Comerica
apparently that doesn't happen.
I'll hit it onto the deck of the DMC. It'll be like Herman Munster when he tried out for the Giants.
Yeah, and then as you're running the bases, you're going to run after the center fielder and try and eat his face off because you're hungry.
I'm not going to run the base. I'm going to have people there to restrain me. Okay, here we go. Right. Here's a video. Right,
what happened?
Somebody's shooting at me.
Who? You're okay. You're okay.
No, cigarettes.
You're okay.
Cigarettes
you have extra human strength,
please.
Dude. You take them on.
Please.
Throw the dumpster at
you're
him.
You're okay, man. Don't worry.
This guy's so hiding behind a dumpster.
Nobody's shooting.
Throw the dumpster at him.
Cigarettes.
Luke, I'm standing here. Nobody's shooting at you.
Please.
So good. So good. Calm down.
Just pick up the dumpster and chuck it.
Oh, he looks like he pissed his pants too.
Yes, he did.
So, wait, nobody told me that side effect of Flocka.
I'm a little less interested.
What do you mean you got no home?
We'll go I'll wear a diaper while I'm taking BP. Man, I'm gonna hit about 500 feet.
Do they make jockstrap diapers?
That Reggie Jackson drive is gonna be nothing after I take Flocka and take BP.
Or just picture a running back on Flocka. Just nobody can tackle him. Why is this
got extra human strength? Can't we see some strong people?
What's with this music, too?
Don't they show a guy benching or something? Don't tell me I'm the first person that thought about benching on Flocka.
Oh, here we go. Here's someone new. Oh, he's nude. Look at that little dung peeking out.
People end up nude because they get so hot they get so overheated.
Yeah.
I just thought that they had no...
Is he lifting off the bag there?
He is lifting off a little bit.
I have done the work for 33 years. This is the death.
I thought that maybe in addition to the extra human strength, that your dong grew on Flocka, too. That's why you want to be nude.
Why would I look at the sun?
Because you have superhuman strength. It won't burn your eyes.
Dude, get some BP in while you're on this stuff. Come on, what are you doing?
Do not breathe.
Get this guy on a bench press.
Taste the earth.
Taste the earth. Next.
Yeah, next. These people don't know how to take Flocka.
Oh, this one's on the phone.
Oh, this will be a great conversation.
Who's on the phone?
Oh, he's dancing.
He's calling a health club to see if he can go bench. Can I buy a 1 hour membership, please?
I think he wants to stay up and damn drugs.
I think he wants to do squats.
Yeah, looks like it. Is he taking a dump in his pants?
Or he's trying to get off the phone because he hasn't said a word and the person must be talking his ear off.
Well, of course he wants to get off the phone so he can take BP.
Give it to me one time. Give it to me two times.
Oh, this chick's climbing.
Oh, she's climbing a tree. Maybe she's doing something
Deerfield
with it.
Deerfield Beach, Florida. I always see all these videos.
Home of
Janara
Robinson.
Look at this bitch.
Look at this bitch.
That's that Flocka for you. Bitch climbing in a tree.
Finally, a little play by play.
Hey, how come none of the chicks get nude?
Yeah, come on, you're hot.
It's because women are always cold.
True.
So Flocka gets their body temperature
just about
normal.
Right.
Don't get big like that anymore.
You all right?
Air plants.
Hey, take BP or something, honey.
I know.
The air's toxic.
Shit's crazy.
Listen, can you help me down?
Oh, yeah.
Help me down the tree. You'll just see a picture of me, right? That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Can you help me down?
I wish I could.
I can't hear nothing.
You're
safe.
I'm sorry.
I'm myself.
Good old
just
Broward County.
Use your extra human strength to pull the tree out of the ground.
That bitch about to wig the fuck out.
She's only like 5 feet off the ground, really,
yeah.
Right? On top of a car. Oh boy, this guy looks crazy.
Jamaica.
Guy's in his boxers.
But he still has his shoes on.
Yeah,
which
Jordan.
Leads you to believe he took off his pants and put his shoes back on.
Propane tank? Yeah.
I think the other guy's just as crazy because he has shorts and a winter jacket on. A down jacket on.
What's he on making him cold?
But just his torso.
No, no one.
Get this guy to a baseball field. Stat.
No.
How more interested in the sober guy wearing the wintertime jacket.
I'm getting a lot less interest in Flocka.
I know.
Yeah. Who's editing these things?
He's filming this guy for so long.
Show the people taking BP or benching. It's their previous high, their previous best, and let's see what they do.
I don't know if your coordination is the best. You might have superhuman strength. The coordination appears to be a little bit off.
Well, you just got to make contact with one pitch. Just like Jay Upton the other day. Did he pound those two or what?
Yes.
God.
Yesterday, yeah.
Look at you, Bufferin.
Apparently,
we bet.
Become a really bad dancer on Flocka.
Is he dancing? What are you doing? Trying to go to work? He's stuck.
Trying to go to work and he's stuck.
Two of those other people look like they were trying
to
dance.
Can't get it together,
too.
See? I told you.
That guy's a pretty good dancer.
For being on Flocka, he's the best we've seen.
Next. This is a waste.
Forget it. Sorry I asked.
That's bull.
Why don't you give us the update on the face eater?
I think that was pretty
leave that rolling, Jay, just in case something cool happens. She waves her arms. If you see somebody on a baseball field, let me know.
He allegedly said when he was arrested that, test me, you won't find any drugs.
Okay.
And they did test him, and like we said earlier, no street drugs. And also that he just bit the guy in the tummy.
Oh, that's all he said he did?
No. That's just additionally what they revealed about it. As if the face eating wasn't horrifying enough. He also bit him in the tummy.
Already? So
yeah, nothing. I mean, you're learning more about the guy. You know, we knew he went to Florida State, but he played football and wrestled in high school. So, can you imagine a wrestler on Flocka?
Oh man,
yikes!
I mean, see, that's what I'd be so pumped to get back on the wrestling team, using Flocka and just wail on people.
Did you see the Mongolian wrestling coaches strip down in protest?
Yes.
Do they really think the ref's going to go, oh, my God, put your clothes back on. We'll give you a bronze medal.
Okay. Like, what was if you're nude, we'll change the call.
Exactly. That was the most embarrassing Olympic moment. The most embarrassing was the race walker. Did you see what happened to the race walker?
The race walker?
Yeah. You didn't see it?
I don't think so.
Hey,
they have Olympic walking?
Jay, will you Google something for me? Yeah. Andrew, just watch, see what pops up. This is the big race walking competition. That happened in the Olympics. There should be a video.
Speed walking?
Race walking, speed walking.
Okay.
Same difference. Are there any still pictures of them?
I've got a video.
Okay, a video. That'll work.
Oh, we have a fecal incident? He just took a shit. He stopped, squatted, and took a shit. And there's the back of his leg. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Well, anyway, a guy from France was race walking, and his tummy hurt, and he started defecating while race walking. So his whole backside.
While walking, do we see him while he's doing it?
There's a video of it, and then it looks like he has a turd in the back of his pants that finally falls out. Here's the bad part: he ended up collapsing from tummy pains.
Oh, there he is
from race walking. Then he got up and completed the race.
What else to say about our face eater?
You mean aside from the new stuff? That was pretty much it.
Oh, that was all? Okay, I thought there was a whole story about him.
Well, there was. I mean, I can go back to it.
Well, no, if that's it.
Mention it again.
Just that he bit his stomach and that he was tested.
Challenged them to find any drugs. They didn't find any drugs, and then he tested negative for most street drugs.
Any more comment from this guy?
Or no.
His parents say anything more?
He's been arrested, obviously. What's that?
Did his parents say anything more?
Outside of the 911 call, no. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a stunning story from the weekend. I'm sure you heard about this. Check this out.
Matt Gutman, thanks. Overseas this evening and to a chilling image. Authorities say they stopped a child suicide bomber moments before he detonated his explosives. ABC's chief foreign correspondent, Terry Moran, with the images and the story of a father who sent in his son.
Nice
the
dad.
Drama unfolded on a darkened street in the city of Kirkuk in northern Iraq. Two police officers desperately holding the suspect, arms outstretched. And he's just a kid standing there stripped and scared. You can see the fear in his face. And strapped around his torso, the suicide bomb. bomb. Carefully, the bomb is removed. And the boy rushed to safety, surrounded. His cries piercing the night, and then into custody for questioning. His bomb detonated by an explosives team. He is 12, maybe 13 years old, police say, and he told police his own father, an ISIS commander, sent him and his brother on their suicide missions. His brother blew himself up elsewhere in the city. All this less than 24 hours after that horrific suicide bombing at a wedding in Turkey. The Turkish president saying the bomber there might have been as young as 12, but officials now hedging on that claim. There's a long and bloody history of using children as suicide bombers by ISIS, by the Taliban, by Boko Haram in Nigeria. The UN says the tactic is on the rise around the world. David?
Terry Moran with us tonight. Terry, thank you. Back here at home.
Can you believe this shit?
No, they've done it before. The heroes in that story are the two cops that grabbed his arm, because typically when they send a kid bomber in, they can detonate it from a distance.
Someone else detonates it frequently.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised those guys are actually holding onto that kid's arm. I mean, that's some serious balls to do that.
They lie to these kids. They tell them it blows up in front of you. You won't get hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like almost like a rocket being shot out of them.
Right. I mean, what more needs to be known to know how absolutely evil this
of course they're evil.
It's just so beyond anything I could even imagine.
Killing
sending
innocent
kids to
people.
Do this?
They're killing innocent people.
Sending kids in to blow up innocent people. 12-year-olds with a bomb strapped to them. They don't even know what the fuck they're doing.
Of course that's warped, but they're also sending in adults to kill innocent people. You know, they're killing innocent people, period.
Well, yeah. But to send in a 12-year-old to
who
do it.
Who doesn't know what they're doing, of course. I guess that's worse if you want to.
And these kids, so many of these kids, too, are on the front lines of the fighting, too.
Mm-hmm.
The more I read
about
ISIS.
Well, at least he's going into his dad's business.
The more, yeah. Why isn't the father strapping a bomb on himself, by the way?
He's a pussy. He's a commander. They couldn't do without a commander.
They couldn't lose his brilliance, could they?
How many women is he raping?
But it just blows my mind to think of, we have this many. I mean, I know we have a number of fucked up people in the world. We always have, always will. But to think that all these fucked up people are organized into this one operation that actually does some things fairly successfully, like their audio video team. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at some of the videos they put together. They've got multiple camera shots and editing. And
they wouldn't be nearly what they are without the internet in general. Not only the editing and stuff, but the social media campaigns.
But, I mean, have we ever faced insanity on an organized level like this? Pure sheer insanity. Because there's no rhyme or reason to it. The Holocaust, yeah.
Pretty insane.
Except that's a small group of people killing a huge group of people.
Yeah, pretty well organized, though.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing I could compare it to. And actually, for numbers,
they killed way more.
They would never be able to compete with the Holocaust.
No. So what, 6.5 million?
Yeah, 6 million, I've heard. I don't know.
6 million.
But the number of people who were pulling that off and wanted to do it. I wonder what that number is. Whereas with ISIS, it seems like everybody's in.
Wait, say that again?
Well, with Nazi Germany,
yeah.
I wonder how many people were actually wanted to do this. As opposed to
well, but ISIS is operating in countries where the citizens don't want them there.
Oh,
the
sure, they don't want them there.
They come in and they don't give them a choice, and they take their money and they say, "You join us, or else we're going to kill you and your family."
Well, I'm not blaming those people, and I'm sure they have successfully gotten some of those people to perform some of the things they want done. But it seems that ISIS has a lot of people who are fully pleased to do ISIS's business.
Oh, I think the Nazis had plenty of people that were fully pleased to do the business of Germany. I mean, what does it matter? They're both terrible and evil. I guess the difference is that people will fly across the country to join ISIS, but then again, technology kind of helps that angle.
Yeah, I don't know how many. I'm not sure what the numbers are for ISIS, to be honest. I mean, it's obviously
what, that have left America?
No, the numbers that are card-carrying ISIS
members. Of ISIS?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a lot.
10,000,
I
mean, maybe?
I was thinking more than that. But it's a lot of people unified. I mean, and it's an operation that was, it's a grassroots.
I got news for people, too. It's never going away. There will, always, I mean, after all, there's still Nazis around. There's still skinheads around. This ideology will never go away.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to deal with something that's so widespread. I mean, you don't have a nation state here where you can just attack the nation state and,
of course,
dissemble it and take all its component parts and, you know, either put them away or kill them.
The Taliban never went away. Al Qaeda's not going away. I mean, it will be generation upon generation before it finally dwindles down to a minuscule amount. You have to be able to get these countries to take over there to take better care of their own country.
Any numbers, Jay, on ISIS? I know you're looking for them. Between 20,000 and 31,500 fighters.
And that I saw that in Iraq and
Syria. Yeah,
I see 80,000 to 100,000 total as an estimate.
Fred Hussein, Chief of Staff to Kurdish President Masoud Barzani, told Patrick Hockman of the Independent that CIA estimates were far too low. ISIL has at least 200,000 fighters. I mean, it seems like if you're talking about a small number like 10,000, it seems like you could just destroy 10,000 people. 200,000 spread out as far as they are, and being as productive as they are. I hate to use that word. But, God. And the video of this kid is pretty powerful, by the way. It was on ABC News. See this child, once he's got this bomb off him, he's just freaking out, just crying, and there's all his cameras shooting, and it's just bizarre. Also on the, I should have stacked this with the drug story, with the Flocka story. Todd Marinovich.
Yeah.
Busted for meth.
Yeah.
Naked in a complete stranger's yard.
Yeah, what a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Todd. Things have gone off the rails again.
Very Alonzo Spellman-esque, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he doing the same thing in Royal Oak?
Mm-hmm.
Marinovich wasn't... Oh, wait, he was nude.
Yeah.
They were both nude. Okay.
He was
someone's backyard.
A naked man on the Ventus Spur walking trail Friday night. Officers eventually found Marinovich in a nearby backyard, still naked when cops arrived.
Did the homeowner go, "Hey, you're robo-quarterback. Can I have your autograph?"
He doesn't really look like Todd Marinovich anymore.
He's probably identified. Well, you know how they identified him?
How?
His fire crotch.
He looks like Ron Howard now.
He had a big old red fire crotch. I'm like, oh, God, that can only belong to Todd Marinovich.
Well, at least they were able to ID him. Cops searched the area, found a brown bag containing meth, weed, and Todd's ID.
Oh.
Always keep your ID with the drugs. So people return them to you.
Well, you're always going to take the drugs with you when you go somewhere, so this way you have your ID with you.
And if you don't have pockets because you're not wearing pants, always have your brown paper bag.
Yeah. Well, where else are you going to put your ID? You
know, what's weird is that his head probably was shaved a couple days before this, so his hair is kind of growing back in, but he's pretty much bald, and he's got a lot of gray over his ears. And, of course, I'm going, wait, how old is Todd Marinovich? I'm thinking, he's like, what, 28, 29?
Marinovich?
No, I know better than that. But I just wasn't thinking of him as a middle-aged man.
You,
I mean, I haven't seen him
as
a
robo-quarterback.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long
time. 30
for 30.
Did you see the 30 for 30 on him?
Yeah,
it was really
I did.
Good.
Yeah, that was, and he was, wasn't he painting?
Yeah, he was doing great.
Yeah, he was doing really well.
Apparently not so much. Which reminds me of the other 30 for 30 recently with Gooden and Gooden Logic. You know, Gooden missed a radio appearance on Friday, I think it was, in New York. Did you see that story? Yeah,
just this past Friday?
Yeah.
No, I didn't,
you didn't see that story? Okay, so he missed a radio appearance. Everyone's like, where's Doc at? What's going on with Doc? And remember,
they
he's
call
missed,
Straw?
Yeah. Strawberry actually commented on it and said, you know, basically he's really worried for Dwight Gooden. His fiance has made comments. She's really worried for Gooden.
Oh, no.
His kid. So nobody really knows what's going on with Gooden.
But didn't you think that when you saw that 30 for 30 that Gooden looked really frail?
Yeah, no, I did. He was still on something in that because they said he missed meetings and was and missed appointments at the end of
that.
You
mean 30 for 30 meetings?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's no question of the two of them, Daryl Strawberry was very convincing and seems very sincere about what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight Gooden just seemed like Dwight Gooden, the Dwight Gooden we've known for the last 30 years, which is basically just a walking mess.
Strawberry said a full-blown intervention is necessary. He detailed to the New York Daily News that Gooden's a cocaine addict. a cocaine seller, cocaine addict, Larry, and on the brink of death. He's a complete junkie addict, Strawberry said. I've been trying behind the scenes to talk to him and get him to go for help, but he just won't listen. He thinks he can manipulate and bullshit his way through everything. His son called me to beg me and to help his dad before he dies.
Well, these guys, you know, who get, what do they call the, I'm trying to think with the guys that smoke crack cocaine or speedballs or whatever, what they call it. Rick James called it the glass dick.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't stop sucking on it. I mean, you're just so.
Wait, this makes it sound like Rick James is gay.
That's what he called it.
Rick James getting on a dick.
It just sounds so incredibly addictive, these guys that get stuck on it.
Yeah.
But it seems that there's always some point at which it just becomes, they become completely overwhelmed or their life becomes overwhelmed. But in Dwight Gooden's case, maybe the thing that keeps it going is the fact that is he not broke? Does he always have money? Does he still have money? He must. To keep a habit like that going, you've got to have a fresh supply of funds coming in all the time.
Remember around the 30 for 30, he missed a public appearance, but he also did the dinner with Dwight, and he was really late for it, and he showed up just a sweaty mess. Can you remember that? But he still got paid for that. According to the Daily News, too, they talked to somebody who happened to be with Gooden at his apartment the day he didn't show up for the event he was supposed to show up last week. According to this person, Gooden locked himself in the bedroom of his apartment late in the afternoon when he was supposed to be leaving for the appearance. He wouldn't come out despite repeated urging from the person in question, as well as Doc Gooden's adult children who were there at the time. At one point, I'm banging on the door, the person said, and he finally came barreling out of the room, but only to yell at me to stop banging on the door before I break it. Then he went back in the room and wouldn't come out. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, once again, is Gooden logic.
Oh,
in other words, he's mad at the guy knocking on the door, not because he's at fault.
Of course, it's his fault.
Yeah.
And speaking of, Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah, nails!
Lenny Dykstra.
Drew, check this out. This is awesome.
Lenny Dykstra just tweeted out that he's going to be having himself a new reality TV show.
All right.
And it looks like there's a trailer for it, maybe?
Keep it stiff, Lenny.
That's what the name of the show should be.
Yeah.
Keeping it stiff with Dykstra.
And it's showing pictures of his big RV that he's going to be taking on tour.
Oh, please come to Detroit, Lenny.
Hey, there's a picture of his book, too.
Let's call him right now.
There's people in line to buy his book.
Let's call him right now and ask him about it.
All right, it looks like his trailer is just a PowerPoint presentation.
Is he trying to sell it, or is it actually going to be a show?
He's got chicks all over it, too.
Lenny. Why would all these... I don't see why all these chicks would be interested in Lenny Dykstra right now.
I don't know. Maybe because he's a good con man.
There's even more Dykstra news because 22 minutes ago, TMZ posted this video of Mickey Rourke saying, "I'm going to bash Lenny Dykstra's face up on site."
Why? What's...
He was mentioned in the book, and it was not a good mention either. Ooh. Does he reference it there?
There's a video. I don't know. Maybe we can pull it up.
Of
Mickey Rourke, and then it looks like it also has Lenny Dykstra talking trash.
Mm.
Yeah, I wish I could remember exactly what Lenny said about him, but I think he and Lenny were hanging at some point, and it had a bad ending, a la Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly.
Well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he outed his drug use.
Maybe you can pull up that RV right up here, just like the Batman.
I know, just like Meldon. That's a nice RV.
That would probably not bring out quite as many neighbors as the Batmobile.
Oh, don't underestimate it.
No, it looks like a pretty cool set of wheels, no doubt.
Stiffmobile.
The House of Nails Tour, it says on it. Yeah, the Stiffmobile, that's perfect.
I missed that on Friday. You had neighbors coming out checking that out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, the Batmobile. Are you kidding? Any jogger that came by stopped. People driving their cars would just stop and park and come out and take a picture.
It's one of my
Mel
cars.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah, he did. He did. Well, we asked him, what's the best thing about driving the Batmobile? He said, the attention.
I almost called the doctor because I was hard for 4 hours. I found the story online. He was just partying with Mickey Rourke. Mickey's career was hurting. He was down and out, having a rough time. We shared a $3,000 a night bungalow in Beverly Hills. Mickey always wore a stupid scarf, and he carried a little fucking dog with him everywhere. Mickey and I went on a 10-day run of partying. He had a crew of Hollywood wannabes. Bottom feeders clung him like shit on a shoe. We're all hitting up the cocaine non-stop. I was supposed to have checked into a rehab center. Promises on the first of the month that I was getting calls from their staff every fucking day. Where are you? Don't worry, I'll be there, I told them. I kept hitting the booze and the cocaine hard, finally on the 10th day or so. I looked in the mirror, just about to shit myself. I was lit up in a moment of clarity. It hit me. I could see that I had Mickey Rourke's scarf around my neck, and I was holding that little fucking dog of his.
No, I wouldn't fight him. I would knock the living shit out of him the minute that I see him.
Oh.
You punk-ass motherfucker. You lying sucker. And Lanny, let me tell you something. When I see you, it's not even going to be hello. I'm going to knock your teeth out again, motherfucker.
I mean, what? He said some, like...
He gave me $30,000. And I swear on my, I have a brother that I love more than anybody else. And I swear on my brother Joseph. And I swear on my grandmother.
Huh?
That bitch never gave me $30,000. He never gave me shit. And you know what? For him saying that, if I see this motherfucker, I'm going to knock all his fucking teeth out again. You understand? You hear me, Lenny? You punk ass bitch motherfucker.
Do you think he's trying to avoid you?
I would.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to see a fight between those two.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, too.
You think Mickey's a big dude?
Lenny looks like he's miles out of shape. I mean, he just doesn't even look like an athlete at this point, which is strange. I mean, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would get so out of shape, does he?
Well, his lifestyle's not the best lifestyle, though.
But he was just
a former athlete.
Yeah.
Although, he talks about how in pain he is, so if he's not taking the drugs anymore to dull the pain, I don't know if he's going to be that eager to work out.
Mickey and I began hanging out together. Mickey's career was hurting. He was down and out. A rough time. We shared a $3,000 night bungalow rented in Beverly Hills. Mickey always wore a stupid scarf. He carried that little dog with him everywhere. Yeah. You mentioned the 10-day run of partying. Mickey had his crew of Hollywood wannabes, bottom feeders who clung to him like shit on a shoe, and we were all hitting the Richards nonstop. Oh, that's the cocaine.
Oh.
I was supposed to have checked in to Promises the first day, yeah. We kept hitting the booze and the coke. Finally, the 10th day, yeah, that's when he said he looked in the mirror. And the moment of clarity you mentioned. I need to get the fuck out of here. I told Mickey, I'm done. Rolled up, man. I got to check into Promises. I checked out of the hotel. The bill must have been $300,000. And it wasn't just my and Rourke's bill. We both had our monkeys and group of chicks who drank and ate like there was no tomorrow. They all put it on my tab. I didn't give a flying fuck. I grabbed my shit, got in my limousine, long-ass ride, took my group of freeloaders with me to Promises. There was some shit left, so I parked the limo in front of Promises right outside the gate, and I told my driver, I got to go in there and dry out, but when I go inside, I'm going in a ball of fucking flames. Let's finish this shit up. That limo was parked there for 5 days, me and the driver and a bunch of women, the L.A. fucking pretenders. After 5 long nights of nonstop partying, we finished off everything we had. Finally, after the last line of coke was snorted, I walked up and pounded on the Promises gate. Open up, motherfuckers! Let me in!
Wait, that story, so the way he tells it almost sounds like they partied in a limo for 5 days?
Yeah.
What?
With the hanger-oners and wannabes.
Wait, what's going on with Promises? They don't see a limo sitting out in front of the gate for 5 days?
Yeah, I would think they would walk out there and...
knock on the window at least.
Well, they probably didn't sit right outside the gate.
You gotta go to McDonald's drive-thru every once in a while.
Sounds a little nuts.
I don't know.
There are a few stories in the book that made me wonder.
Maybe not 5 days. He probably spent like an hour in there snorting all the coke and then went in. Would he really have 5 days of coke left after partying with Mickey Rourke?
No, he would not. He would never carry supply that big on him to last him and a bunch of freeloaders 5 days.
No way.
24 hours a day.
Maybe it was,
that would be, that'd be pounds of cocaine.
You think it was 5 nights total, though? Maybe.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Kind of pretty dubious.
I love that, though. He's making fun of Mickey Rourke for care, having that scarf and that little dog. And then he looks in the mirror and he's wasted wearing a scarf and holding Mickey Rourke's dog. And that's when he knew he had to get out. When you start co-opting your drug buddy's look.
Oh, Lenny.
That's a great story.
I still love Lenny. I mean, he's still nuts. He's still... I mean,
he's not a good guy, but there's something lovable about
there's
him.
Something really likable about him. I can't
put honesty. Well, although he's never been terribly honest. I don't know what it is. He's funny. He's funny, Drew.
No, he is funny, and he's spilling it all too. He spills and spills and spills. He seems to have no shame whatsoever.
He seems to show a lot of regret, actually, now. He's paid his debt to society. He went to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's a great guy, but he'd probably be the first to admit that I'm not the that he's not the best guy.
I think he's pretty self-aware. He's a cad. He's calling 80-year-old people bro
and dude.
And some of the things, just the way he treats and talks to women, you know, it's one of these things where you know that he doesn't really mean it. I mean, I think he's one of these guys, he's an asshole, but I don't think he quite understands. I mean, it's just sort of in his DNA.
Yeah.
He can't, there's no reforming him. I mean, could Lenny Dykstra, it's sort of like Ernest T. Bass when they tried to get him manners on Andy Griffith. Remember we're talking about Ernest T. Bass? He's just with the rock through the window. It's me, it's Ernest T. And they put nice clothes on him, and they went to dinner parties and stuff. And, of course, eventually he went completely wacko. Because it wasn't in his DNA to have normal manners and be a normal guy. And I think Denny he's got the asshole DNA.
Now, to take it full circle back to Dwight Gooden.
Yeah.
He gave an interview today.
Oh, wonderful.
Do you want to get... Okay, it was a radio show, I'll tell you that much. It's a New York-based radio show. And I'm only bringing this up because we laughed about the fact that this guy has a show. Who do you think he...
Oh, Joe Piscopo!
He was on the Joe Piscopo show.
Joe Piscopo! Of all the shows he could have picked, he picked Joe Piscopo?
Thank you. Piscopo must know him or something, right?
I have my suspicions right away. Okay, there's one reason I can think of that he would choose Joe Piscopo. Because maybe Joe Piscopo doesn't know his story that well. I mean, if he went on WFAN and talked to Francesa or some of those guys, they're not going to let him off the hook.
That's who he was supposed to be on last week, which I would think he would make good to them, or they'd be pounding him down like, "Hey, can we talk about what happened?" But he went on to respond to Daryl Strawberry. It's Gooden, probably. Here's more Gooden logic for you. He probably was like, "Oh, who's the biggest comedian of the day? Is it still Joe Piscopo? He's got a show. I'm going on the Joe Piscopo show." Doc is still stuck in the early 80s.
Before I was on drugs all the time, who do I think was really fun? Oh, Joe Piscopo. The guy's hilarious.
See, I loved Eddie.
Eddie Murphy.
He doesn't have a radio show.
Billy Crystal, he doesn't have a radio show.
Oh, but what do you know? Piscopo's got a show, and it's here in town.
Joe Piscopo's still a big star. He's got a radio show.
Brad Hall have a show. I like Brad Hall. He's all these old mid-level SNL people.
Anthony Michael, whatever. His name is.
Whatever happened to that guy? That guy was hilarious on SNL. Did he ever amount to anything? So yeah, he was on the Joe Piscopo show, and he's very hurt by Daryl Strawberry.
Oh please, you know.
And he says, "Do you have the audio? Were you able to pull it up over there, Brandon, or no?"
Is it the one that you have?
Yeah, there's a link on it to the Joe Piscopo show audio. But part of it is he's saying that Daryl hurt me a lot because I thought we had reestablished our relationship, obviously referring to the 30 for 30. And Doc says that he forgave him for a lot of stuff. I never threw him under the bus, never said anything about him publicly for him to say the stuff that he said. You have to draw a line somewhere, and I guess I do a better choice of picking friends. Now, what's interesting about that, the throwing under the bus, because Straw threw him under the bus with the whole... Didn't Straw throw him under the bus to...
Yeah, Straw's thrown him under the bus a couple times.
Hey, Doc, I got you. It's Piscopo. Are you on the air?
Yes, I'm on the air. How you doing, buddy?
You know what? Dwight Gooden,
tell him he's on the air.
Man. Thanks. Love you. Now, you haven't had any more children since we last talked. Have you, man?
Why is he asking Dwight Gooden if he's on the air?
I don't know. Why didn't Dwight say, "Yeah, we're on the air"?
I guess the board's at Dwight's house.
You can tell there's a relationship there, by the way.
Pope, you know, ask to come on the show. You are the father.
Yeah, I know. You and me. How many? You got five kids. Yeah. You got five kids now, Dwight?
You said six.
Yeah, practice.
Yeah.
You said practice?
Yeah, practice? Yeah, yeah. No, five kids. I said what? You have five. You and me have five. Huh? I'm stopping at that, correct?
Yeah, no, I have seven.
Oh! He said six. Originally.
God bless you.
Yeah, seven and three grandkids.
Oh, my God. God bless you. You know,
funny thing, I don't know if I mentioned to you, yeah. I used to have a grandson that's older than two of my kids. So at that point, I knew it was kind of stopped.
You got me.
He's got a grandson older than two of his kids?
I don't know.
Listen, you know what? I love you.
Can you just ask him?
We have such a good time when we're together. And you
stop bearing the lead.
You're the finest people I've met, and I hesitated to call, man, because I know how the gossip is and how you deal with it. Tell
my radio show struggling.
How you deal with it? You head for the bathroom with that pipe.
Tell us what's going on. You didn't show up for one thing at a radio station. Everybody went crazy. Doc, what the heck?
It was more than one thing.
Everything is good. You know, I'm healthy. I don't have a drug problem. I mean, I am an addict. I mean, I'll always be an addict the rest of my life. That don't mean I'm an active addict. But things are well. Unfortunately, I missed the Saturday event. I'm sorry, the Thursday event. And then Saturday, I never got the call. The guy, I mean, it's a long story. I might release a statement later today to my attorney. But I am healthy. My kids do eat. I didn't read the story with Janice, but the Daryl thing hurt me a lot because I had just thought we reestablished our relationship. I mean, I forgave him for a lot of stuff. I never took him on the bus. Never said anything about him publicly. But I'm trying to say that stuff. I mean, yeah,
pause that, Jay.
Somewhere. And I guess the better.
First of all, could Piscopo ride the levels a little bit?
I know.
Yeah, come on, Joe.
Really?
It's very hard to hear Dwight. And you're cranking. His mic is wailing.
I'm going to venture a guess that Piscopo doesn't run his own board. After all, it's at Gooden's house.
That's right. Dwight's running the board. That's the problem. Dwight is talking way too fast.
Yeah, I know.
The words are just jumbling out. I mean, he
doesn't know what day it is.
Does not sound right to me.
But oh, poor Doc.
Let's hear a little more.
Because I had just thought we reestablished our relationship. I mean, I forgave him for a lot of stuff. I never took him on the bus. Never said anything about him publicly. But friends said that stuff. I mean, you have to draw a line somewhere. And I got choice of picking friends. But other than that, you know, everything's good. I was at my point in the right place. I had a good time with the fans. I'll be at Rose and Rose tomorrow. Unfortunately, Saturday, some things happened. And Thursday, some things happened. But it definitely hadn't been doing
well. Doesn't know what day you're supposed to be there.
Yeah, so did you talk to Daryl at all? Did you talk to Daryl Strawberry at all? Or you just... I can see you're upset about that. Have you talked to him since he made those statements?
No, I haven't talked to him. I was very upset because, you know, you have kids involved here. My kids are older now. You know, you go and sit with them and then you start that stuff.
They
and
the kids thing is, they involved.
I mean, my kids know how fucked up I am.
Don't hurt me anymore. People say stuff. I've been through it all. I mean, not that you like to hear any of these, but I don't have to defend the truth. But, you know, when you say stuff like that and you're with somebody, and Saturday we asked, I'm sorry to say Saturday, but Thursday we asked to text each other. He knew exactly what he knew I was dressed to go to the event.
Yeah.
The guy Jake Burke was here to get me. And some stuff jumped off between me and Jake that almost got physical.
Because he was knocking the door down.
Place. I mean, and I can prove everything that I talk about.
I can prove.
You know, I don't have anything I'm doing wrong to do. I'll be the first to tell you.
I'll take a drug test.
You know, and to
oh, you'll be the first to tell us, really?
Appearances. We do these a lot together with our mutual friend. You know, Ray, yes. who we love. What a great guy he is. And he put us together. You know what?
Ray getting a shout out.
Why does Joe sound so ridiculous?
We sat down. You look great. You look great. You come in, and then you're so gracious.
He does not look great. He looks like a sweaty mess.
You know what? I don't feel any hate in you. I don't feel any, aggravation from you.
I just feel party so in nicely. You.
But what are you feeling when you're home and you see all this?
I feel like getting fucked up.
Fears for Doc's life, and you see these things and all the.
I mean,
you know, are you used to it at this point, or does it?
Good and logic.
What do you miss smoking crack as long as I have? Pretty used to this stuff.
I'm sorry, you never get used to that. You know, I know my heart. I have a great heart, and I'm around good people. Like you're a good friend. You know, we're good friends. I surround myself with good people.
Dwight, slow down.
It hurts me because I know the work I'm putting in. I know what I do for others. I know I enjoy doing. And I know I'm not perfect.
But you know what?
But
that's
time, it hurts me more now because I have kids. I have kids that are older. I have grown kids.
We know. We got grand. You have grandkids. We heard that.
That's now starting to understand who I am and be around. He has to go to school and deal with this stuff. That's the only thing I feel bad about, that, you know, that they're in that situation.
Then stop partying so much.
When you have people that you think care for you and say they care for you, as like Daryl, you got to understand, he has kids. I mean, you don't want things to hurt your kids. That's what it bothers me. You could throw stones at me all you want. I'm a big fool. I can deal with that. Yeah. But when it starts to bump my kids, then that's a whole other
Mrs. Sly.
You know what, Doc Gooden, you're so kind of calm, man. But on you know what, and I tell you how my kids are on sports. I got my son.
Come on, Piscopo, stop talking about your fucking kids this whole show. What is this, Piscopo and his kids show?
Apparently. You taking the time to join us on the radio this morning, man. You are really one of the sweetest guys I've ever met.
Way to pin him down, Joe.
How much blow has Piscopo done with Gooden?
Pitfalls of drugs.
I bet you he's done a ton.
I think the one thing, like, from my experience, is being honest with yourself. I mean, we can BS everybody else, but being honest with yourself, being cool is not hanging out with your friends. And one thing is, don't be a people pleaser. Those are my biggest downfalls. You know, trying to please others.
No.
What are you talking about?
Cocaine was your biggest downfall.
And not being honest with myself, because today I can do that.
Right. Dwight, you're one of the great ones, my friend. I'm proud to be your friend, Dwight Gooden. I love you, man. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you too, buddy. I love you too. I look forward to seeing you again.
All right, God bless you. God.
Is this a Disney radio show? Something? Doesn't Joe sound so happy time and nicey and... That was not good evidence for drug dealing.
I think I'd be on Straw's side still. I think Strawberry made the more compelling compelling argument.
Oh, boy.
As to what's going on with Dwight Gooden.
Yeah. Dwight sounds like a mess. I've never heard anyone talk so fast. Those words were coming out so fast. I mean, out of Dwight Gooden's mouth, that's telling you something. He's a pretty shy guy.
Do you think if we called Lenny Dykstra, we could get comment on Dwight Gooden right now? First of all, do you think Lenny would answer?
Maybe.
We get comment on Dwight, comment on Mickey Rourke, and the reality show.
Yeah, let's
Should we just try it for SEO?
Sure, why not? Should we do it on part two?
Yeah.
We're 59 minutes and 55 seconds.
Yeah, let's do that.
Just enough time to say we'll see you in part two.